People over here say, well, everybody's doing it. Yep, God says, everybody's doing it except you. He's building a new framework. Mom, through which you can see. Dad, through which you can see. Young man, young woman, that you can see, your friends, the world. Otherwise, you'll be going off an old map, wrong GPS, miscalculated direction. Yeah, but everybody's doing this. Yeah, everybody is doing it except you.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Do you ever look at those around you who call themselves Christians, yet their lives are no different than others? If they've had a change of heart on the inside, it isn't showing on the outside. Well, today, Pastor Wayne will show us that we need what he calls a solid framework in order to become the men and women God would have us to be. Just what exactly does that mean, you ask? Here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Living Exceptionally.
Well, welcome, everybody. Would you take out your notes? It's in your bulletins. We're going to follow along with our notes as we talk about living exceptionally. Now, we've been talking about the kingdom of God, which is sort of a mini-series under the umbrella of the greatest life ever lived. It's about Christ and his teaching. Now, we know that the kingdom of God isn't something that's demarcated by some geographic boundaries like a state line or county line. But there are boundaries. There are borders because people can either enter it or not enter the kingdom. You say, well, what if you're a Christian? You're in it, right? Nope, not really. Actually, Jesus said to his disciples, enter the kingdom, enter the kingdom. They were God followers, but there was something that God was inviting them to be a part of. You say, wait a minute, I know Jesus is Lord. I should be a part of the kingdom. Well, yes and no. Now, let's take a look at the scripture and you'll see what we're talking about. Would you read it with me? Go. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will. So it's going to be entered through obedience, not just through pedigree. It's through obedience in the Lord. And then we start to understand, I want to encourage you to enter the kingdom, and we're going to talk about how to do that. Now, some people, because they're Christians, they just figure, I'm in it. Well, let me say this. There's two kingdoms of God, as it were. One is a celestial kingdom. When Jesus comes a second time, we'll be ushered into that if you have faith in Christ. And your faith and entry into heaven, that faith that gets you into heaven will be based on his performance and not yours. How many of you are glad your faith is based on his performance and not your own? Yeah, okay, good. That gets us into that kingdom of heaven. That's a forever place. But there's a kingdom on this earth, thy will be done on earth as it is in. There's one here where the people who are the kingdom, people of the kingdom are lights in the world. People that represent the kingdom of God on the earth, like lit buoys in the ocean where people can navigate their way to find the Father. Ambassadors, people who represent heaven, whose citizenship is not of this world, but in heaven. God chose us, saved us, and then gave us an assignment on this spinning earth. Don't forget who you are. And he puts you there. And they say, oh, by the way, you're the salt of the earth. Make sure that you don't lose your savor and your identity and what I've placed you here for. You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men so they'll see your Father. They'll glorify your Father in heaven and see your good works. Don't forget now, that's your assignment. You're not of this earth. You're here just for a short time. Whew. See, what we forget is that right now we're traveling at 66,000 miles an hour. We're just whipping through this very, very quickly. There's a kingdom of God here on this earth that we can miss. Will you get to heaven? Probably. But will you miss it on earth? Probably. So we want to make sure that we're a part of what God's plan is, design is. And one of the ways he's going to do it is to help us to see things differently. Now, we're going to talk about that in just a second. We're going to talk about a new frame of reference, a new mindset, a new way of looking at things. We're going to go to the Old Testament, run right through to the New. We're going to show you a little bit of God's vast kingdom that he commands. And then we're going to have one point of application at the end. Okay? Are you ready? Some people I see on earth that are Christians, I don't know if they're really people of the kingdom. I don't even know if they're going to make it. I mean, I hear funerals, you know, I go to funerals and I hear a pastor say, they talk about Joe Blow in general ways, very, very general ways. Like, Joe Blow, he is now flying with the angels somewhere. And I think to myself, you don't know where he is, do you? Because we talk about them in such generalities. I want, when I die, I want people to say, I know that I know that I know where that guy is. How many of you want to make sure that you know where you're going? Yeah, all right. Now, there's some people I know. For example, let me put a couple up on the screen. Mother Teresa, I know, I'm confident where she's going to be. And you might not recognize this person, but his name is Martin Luther, a reformer in the 1500s. I know where he's going to be. And some of you recognize this one, the great evangelist, Billy Graham. I know, I'm confident where these people are. There's some, though, that call themselves Christians. I don't know where they're going to be. I just... they're different. But we'll move right along, because I don't want you to get caught up in that. But but I want to go all the way back to the Old Testament. It's going to be the same in the New. Jesus comes in and he fulfills. He doesn't abolish the law. He fulfills the law. You're going to see some laws in the Old Testament. We're going to talk about that. And if you've been doing devotions with us, you're in Deuteronomy, all these laws and sacrificial laws. Now, when Jesus comes in the New Testament, he doesn't abolish these. He fulfills these. For example, there are sacrificial laws, there's dietary laws, there's ceremonial laws, there's also physical laws like gravity, there's moral laws, how we treat one another. Well, Jesus fulfills many of the ceremonial laws. He also fulfilled the sacrificial law, the sacrifices that have to be made for sin. When Jesus came, he was the sacrificial lamb that died once and for all for the sins of the world. So he didn't abandon those, he fulfilled those. Dietary laws, many of those he fulfilled. If you look in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit says to Peter, what I have called clean, don't ever call again unclean. He fulfilled certain laws. But there are certain ones that are yet in motion. Physical laws, for example, gravity and all that God's doing, and also the moral laws, how we treat one another. So you find at the top of our notes, let's read this scripture as we're getting on the same page today. Would you read it out loud? Go. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Now, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least, where? In the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly the kingdom of heaven. Ah. So here's what's happening. The Lord is saying, I'm not going to abolish them. I'm going to fulfill them. Now I'm going to put some commands in place. And if you obey them, you'll be called great in the kingdom of heaven. If you don't, you'll be least. Now, here's some commands. And you look at Deuteronomy, God puts laws up there, like the Ten Commandments. You know what God is doing? He is, and would you write it in your number one there? He is little by little, God is developing in you and me a biblical frame, like a picture frame, a biblical frame of reference through which we look at life. Because watch this. When you came to Christ, you had a secular framework, frame of reference. The only way you looked at life was through what you learned from television, the movies, Lord have mercy, your friends, peer pressure, and the locker room, and maybe from school that's taught in a secular way. So now when you have that frame of reference, the way you see life and think, philosophize, make decisions, when you get saved, your spirit gets saved, but guess what your viewpoint is still? Secular. So what do you have to do? You've got to, as the Bible says, renew your mind or renew the spirit of your mind and take on the mind of Christ. Well, I'm saved, but I still look at things in the secular way. If you don't change that, you will morph into what the Bible calls a carnal Christian. Saved, but everything you see is really conflicting and confusing. And so you'll make crazy decisions and you'll live just like what you perceive. That's why the book Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 6, the lamp of the body is your eyes. If your eye sees clear, your whole body will be filled with light. But if your eye is dark, then that light that is in you will be dark. And if that light that is in you is darkness, how great shall that darkness be? So one of the things that God is going to do is he's going to start building a new frame of reference. And where do we get that frame of reference? Well, he dots it with his commands. The Ten Commandments are like coordinates. And after a while, he starts connecting the dots when you say, oh, now I'm getting it. Oh, that's what it means. So at first, it's just like a spattering of a constellation in the sky of stars. And then someone says, that's the Big Dipper. You say, I can't see it. Oh, let me just connect the dots. Oh, I see it. Yeah. Well, what God is going to do eventually is start connecting the dots. But at first, he's just going to give you commands. And he's building this framework of perception. Now, if you go to a Bible college or a theological seminary, they'll call it a secular, not frame of reference, but they'll call it a secular worldview and a biblical worldview. God is building a new mindset, a new mind, a new perception through which you see life and God. In the New Testament, you'll see the same thing. You'll see him building it in a new way. In fact, let's read this first scripture under number one. Go. You have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. So watch this. He's setting this up for the Jewish people. He fulfills a lot of that. And then he's building it for the people of grace. The Beatitudes. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Why? For they shall be filled. Okay, got it. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see God. Got it. And then he says this command and that command, this command. And pretty soon we're starting to understand how to look through a biblical framework. The Beatitudes are followed by six of these. You have heard it say, but I say unto you. You've heard these people do, but you do something else. You have heard these people say, everybody does it, maybe so, except you. Watch this. That was one. And then you have heard it say, you shall not commit adultery. But I say, everyone who looks upon a woman to lust after her has already begun that in his heart. Ah, God wants our hearts. Yeah. Over here, don't do the action. Over here, God wants our hearts. Okay, got that. And it says, over here, if you want to divorce your wife, just give her a certificate of divorce. But I say, everyone who divorces his wife, except for the reason of immorality, makes her to commit the same. Okay. Now, you've heard it was said that you shall make no false vows. But I say to you, don't make vows at all if you're making it by heaven or by earth. No, just let your yes be yes and your no be no. Okay. Over here, it's an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist evil. He who slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other. Whoo, okay, I got it. You have heard it say, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Maybe so, except you love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. What God is saying there is you're going to have a secular mindset here. This is what they do. But you do this. I'm going to build a new framework. I don't want you to take this perspective and try to fit God into it. You've got to die to that and build a whole new one based on my scriptures. Then you'll start to see things the way I see it. That may take a lifetime to build, but that's why it's important for us to read the scriptures, obey his commands. What is he doing? He's building a new framework. Mom, through which you can see. Dad, through which you can see. Young man, young woman, that you can see, your friends, the world. Otherwise, you'll be going off an old map, wrong GPS, miscalculated direction. So he's saying, people over here say, well, everybody's doing it. Yep, God says, everybody's doing it except you. Yeah, but everybody's doing this. Yeah, everybody is doing it except you. Because you are not of the world. You're not going to end up in the world. You are citizens of heaven, passing through, showing people the way home to me, so they can say, everybody's doing it. Yep, there are, except you. That's why God says you get to live exceptionally. Because everybody's doing it, except whom? You. Because you're not of this world. You're ambassadors for Christ. Don't forget who you are. And he puts us on this world. Yeah, but everybody's doing it except you. Live exceptionally because you're a chosen people out of the world. You know what the word church comes from? Comes the word ecclesia. You know what ecclesia? Ek is exit. Like you see that green sign above the door. That means out of. And kalo, ekalo, is to call or to bid. And you know what the church is? People who have been called out of the world and into the kingdom. So God is saying, live exceptionally because that's who you are. Now you say, well, you know, I would sure like to see, maybe God could just change some of those laws though. Because they're kind of constricting. Because, you know, could we just do more stuff like them? No, no, no. Would you write down here in your bullet there, we need a solid, and would you write that word in solid, framework? Because we will not always have a heart to serve God. Say, what do you mean? God's going to set up commands. You don't want God to change his commands. You want it so solid because there's going to be times we want to push against it. But don't let it in any way give way. You don't want it to give way. Why? It'll save your life. But if there's a little puka, a little spot, just let me just kind of go out that way. No, no, no. You want it to hold you in. You want it to be so solid that if something presents itself to go back to the old way, you want it to hold you. Your conscience should bother you so much, you say, no, I can't do it. Even though my flesh wants to, I can't. I'm just sorry, I can't. Just like Joseph with Potiphar's wife. She said, come sleep with me. He said, you know, I just can't. I can't. I can't sin against my God. I just can't do it. And when she kept persisting, he just took off and ran. That had to be real solid. Why? Because there's going to be weeks that you're going to push against God's laws, and you don't want his laws to change or give way. Because if they do, we're in trouble. You say, why? You see, because there's going to be mornings, man, you're going to get up. You just worked out in the gym yesterday. You're going to get up, you're looking in the mirror, and you'll look at yourself and say, what a specimen of a man. Everybody wants me. And you're a legend in your own mind. And you'll start fishing. Well, I tell you, if you're a Christian man, even though you're vulnerable, you want God's laws to touch your conscience. And you say, I just can't. I can't. You want it solid. Why? Because even though you push against it and you want to, but you know you shouldn't, so you don't. And then you get up tomorrow morning and you'll be so glad God's laws kept you safe. How many men have I seen in one night they destroyed their spouse, their family, their children, their future, their testimony, everything in one night. Because they broke out of God's framework and went back to Egypt. Listen, you want this so strong that even if I push against it, I can't. I just can't. I'm sorry. because tomorrow I'm going to get up and I'll be so grateful I didn't. God's laws have to keep you strong. You say, but why don't God just kind of relax it for a little bit? Because I wish he'd relax it. Mm-mm, you don't. You want him to hold you really, really tight. Because if you read the book of Deuteronomy, his laws are very constricting. Why? I'll tell you why. Would you write it down in your notes? Because number two, God is developing our heart for, here's the word, obedience. Obedience. God is developing our heart for obedience. Heart. And he's going to do it with some pretty constricting laws. Listen very carefully. Some of you, when you first come to Christ, you'll think, this Christian stuff is just so constricting. Just way too constricting. Why is it so constricting? Look at Deuteronomy. Very restricting. Why? Why? Because he wants us to change our hearts. Explain that to us. Here it is. When Aaron was growing up, he got in a tussle with Amy, and he just went crazy. He went ballistic, and he wanted to punch her. He wanted to kick her. He wanted to bite her. And when I came home, he was just about ready to go nuts. So, yarr! And I just grabbed him like this, and I held him really tight. I said, no, you're not going to do it. And a little arm popped up. I want to hit her. And a little leg, boom, I want to kick her. And just little things coming and popping out. And I just held him. I said, nope, you just settle down. No, I hate her, I hate her. I said, no, you don't. Yes, I hate you. Let me go. I hate you. No, you don't. Daddy loves you. No, I hate you. And I hate mom. I hate everybody. I said, nope. And I just held him really tight. This is when he was like 19 or so. And I just held him really tight like this. And I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. But daddy loves you. I hate you, I hate everybody. Now just let me go, let me go, let me go. And he cried and cried. And nope, dad's just going to hold you until you settle down. And he just kept crying and fighting. And I just held him like this, held him really tight. And finally he settled down and I heard him, his cry even changed. Got a deeper cry. And I said, are you all right now? Daddy loves you.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay, you all right now? Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay, daddy's going to let you go.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay, all right. Once his heart changed, I could what? Loosen up that which was so constricting. But why did I hold him tight? It was to change his heart. If I let him go, he would have destroyed our house. And his sister would have kicked the stuffings out of him. For his own protection, I held him. And if he were let go when his heart was still off, the next morning he would be so sorry. Because relationships will have broken down. But I held him really close because I hated him. No, because I loved him. And I wanted to change what? His heart first. And watch this. Once his heart changed, what could I do then? I could let him go because it was his heart. I wanted his heart to change first. That's why if you'll read with me, let's take a look at what it says in Romans 6:17. Go. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart. Would you underline that? Why did God put such restrictive commands on the Jews? Because their hearts were trying to stray. Wherever there was an opening in the fence, they would run out. And God would just put such stringent laws on them. Why? Because I want your hearts to change. But we hate everybody. Whoa, whoa, whoa. And that's why the Bible says, when you went through the wilderness, God said, I carried you as a mother would her baby close. Why? Because your heart wanted to stray so much. But your commands are so restricting. Yep. When you don't see it that way, then I know your heart will change. And then what do I do? Then God opens his arms. My goal isn't to keep him restricted. My goal is to be able to release him to something even grander. But if he can't have his heart changed here, it's going to be crazy out there. That's why he says, and would you read the next one? Go. He who is faithful in a little is faithful also in much. But he who is unrighteous in little shall also be unrighteous in, yeah. So you've got to let the heart change so that you'll be obedient from the heart.
You've just heard part one of a message entitled Living Exceptionally by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638.
New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.